In this podcast series, we've been exploring the subject of resilience. Some of our guests have developed resilience through past personal experience, and some have developed it by planning ahead as part of their continuing professional development. The Irish Institute of Pharmacy are the hosts for this podcast series, and we manage the CPD system for pharmacists. As the executive director of the Institute, you can imagine I was really interested when one of our peer advisors made the link between resilience and his continuing professional development. Julian Judge is here with us to share his thoughts. I'm Katrina Bradley, and this is The Resilient Pharmacist.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me, Katrina.
We're delighted to have you. Do you want to introduce yourself first so people can know a bit about where you're coming from?
My name is Julian Judge. I'm from the border between Donegal and Derry, a place called Thawne. I did my undergrad in Trinity College. I graduated in 1989. I did my pre-reg in the old Hayes Cunningham Robinson in Grafton Street.
Oh, I remember.
Under a Miss Finnerty. Mm-hmm. They were the days when you were allowed to drive up and down Grafton Street, believe it or not.
No way.
They were. The deliveries were delivered in the front door. And then I worked in James's Hospital for a while, Grange Gorman for a while. And then I opened my own pharmacy in Old Bourne and Talla in 92, which I operated until 2005, whereupon following an accident or an incident, whatever, I basically had to sell up. A simple fall that led to a year in the rehab in Dunleary. Yeah. I actually completely lost my voice. And I had to learn how to sing to actually be able to slow down as I'm trying to do with you now. You can probably hear it in me. And I had to learn to sing the actual scales. And I really got to enjoy it. So at the ripe old age of 40-odd, I went off and did all my grades in singing.
No way.
I did, yeah. I did it. And I found it very uplifting.
Okay.
You know, the ability to be able to just, you know, shout your mouth. The CPD and where that is coming from. When I did the CPD sessions initially, these are my e-portfolios.
Okay, you're continuing professional development in the Institute, was it right?
They stressed me incredibly.
You said that. So you had originally said that you the CPD, that you could use that for developing resilience. And I thought, oh, great, you know, you're going to do some courses. But actually you said no. The very fact that you had to do it at all was stress-inducing.
Stress-inducing, completely.
Okay.
And I reflected on, I reflected on it. And I think it's because you're afraid, a lot of fear, that your work is going to be examined by a third party and it may not be up to scratch.
Right. But now, in fairness, listening to you, you're a fellow who had been doing a lot of CPD. You had been doing a lot of, extra courses and you have an interest in learning. So were you afraid?
Yes, and I failed to make the CPD anyway entertaining or engaging for me until I made it personal. I suppose there is my age group, so I am not used to the fact of that mechanism of learning or engaging with yourself. It was the first time I had done it. So there's that whole thing of, am I doing it correctly? And because I haven't done it before, I don't know.
Okay.
There is also, I suppose as pharmacists, you know, we live in this world of right or wrong. It's correct or it's not. So there is this whole thing of I'm being judged by someone that unknown to me who's going to read what I've written or engaged with. I also found it difficult to engage with the process until I made it personal.
Okay.
Then it was easier to engage with. By that I mean, what topics will I choose to write about or choose to read or research? Mm-hmm. So my friend, unfortunately, has got colon cancer. So, okay, let's have a look at colon cancer and chemotherapies, which I had, you know, long forgotten the mechanisms of.
Yeah.
So, but when I did that, and that's what I would mean by a coping mechanism. It's a simple, you know, how do you cope with a difficulty?
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. So that idea of you had something to do and you decided you were going to make it personal to you so that you had an interest in it beyond having to do this for regulatory reasons? Just for people who aren't aware, the Irish Institute of Pharmacy set up a CPD system on behalf of the regulator. It required pharmacists to engage in a very different type of CPD, which was needs-based, outcomes-focused, self-directed, systematic. And it required pharmacists to do a lot of reflection. And we've just assessed through ePortfolio Review the first 5-year wave of that. So pharmacists, as you say, Julian, have submitted their cycles and had them reviewed. And I think it's a good time for us to stop and reflect. So reflective practice is something that a lot of people on this podcast have said. Actually stopping and recognising yourself and what works for you and what doesn't work for you is important. So you're saying find something of interest. You also had a neat tip that you shared with me when you came on first.
Again, it's another coping mechanism in that if there is a task that I have to do, not by choice, but I have to do it. And, you know, I just don't want to do it. I find if I say to myself, God, there's 2 or 3 hours now to be sat down and done with this. I just can't do it. I'll fail.
Yeah.
However, if I say I'm going to commit for 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's a bargain. I can make that bargain with myself. 10 minutes is not going to kill me. But quite often the 10 minutes will turn into an hour. And I will not have noticed. And I'll have a module done.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole thing becomes positive. I use that 10-minute rule for loads of things.
Yeah. And do you record your CPD as you go along, or did you have to wait until the letter came saying?
I was ishish in that I was lucky enough to be working with 2 pre-reg students who were used to how to do a module. And, you know, every day there would be an issue with a prescription or whatever. You'd have to explain it to them what the issue was and how you would actually identify it and deal with it. So they were able to help me in terms of that would be good for a CPD module.
Ah.
A lot of my difficulty was I would look at the CPD thing and I would say, what'll I do with this? Will I pick this very difficult prescription? Will I just pick, what'll I do? Where do I start here? But they were able to guide me quite easily because they're well used to this from undergrad.
Okay, so that systematic approach, the way of identifying your learning need, making a plan, putting it into action. But it sounds like you were somebody who always engaged in CPD, maybe not in that formal way, but you sound like somebody who's always learning.
I'm a great believer in the BNF, and that would probably come from my training in James's Hospital. It was probably the place where I learned most in the quickest period of time. And you had to have a BNF in your pocket.
Right.
That was yours at all times.
Yeah.
And you very quickly learnt how to find an answer to something within 30 seconds. You had to. So I've kind of built that into my own dispensing where that I will constantly refer to a BNF.
Yeah. But even in life more general, like, so obviously there's the clinical aspect, but then the aspect of personal development, professional development, you know, there's so much learning in so many different things. So even that incident that you had where you were debilitated, I can't imagine the amount of effort it took to get back to learning how to walk.
Well, actually, the learning how to walk was great when you could actually walk from pretty much, well, I was in a coma for a few weeks, but when I came around, I learned that I would be able to walk. Everybody in the rehab has an objective.
Okay.
And you must have a goal and an objective in life. Otherwise, you're just slapping.
Can I ask, Julian, what's your hope for anybody who's listening to this?
My hope is that, well, it's not a hope, it's a goal. It's to talk about mental awareness and how I think it could be built into the CPD module. And it was something that occurred to me when we were doing our podcast as a group about 2 months ago.
I suppose to set the context, once we did the needs analysis with the profession in November 2020, we were told that pharmacists wanted to talk about mental health awareness and developing resilience. And so you came on board as one of the pharmacists, the group of 32 who volunteered to do things, and one of the outcomes of that work is this podcast. So yeah, it's great to have you here talking about it from a CPD perspective, so we can talk about it in terms of what are the types of things you would put in a module.
But also, I suppose what I'm eager to explore too is this idea that CBD can really be in service of what you want and where you need to go. And you made a very wise statement where you were saying causes of stress can be great ways of learning and resolving them. So you were talking about people and environments. Do you remember what you were saying about that? You said they were great learners for you or great teachers for you.
For me, in my opinion, the greatest source of stress in a pharmacy is a combination of the people you work with and the place where you work. So it's that environment, which is the space and the people.
Yeah. And how have you managed people who you really don't get on with?
I've only had one or two instances of it in my own pharmacy, where you just have to bite the bullet. And you have 2 years as an employer to decide if an employee is working out.
Okay.
And in my opinion, if you fail to recognize that, that's your fault. You know, it's your dispensary. Pharmacy is not a democracy. It's a highly non-creative world in terms of smallness of space, the sheer multitude of things that are going on at the one time. And teamwork is vital.
Yeah. I'm interested in what you're saying, because you're saying there, as a pharmacy owner, for example, you had a responsibility to make sure you had the team and the people in place. And then the space or the environment, there's lots of people who would say, actually, you know, there should be more done for making that conducive to a better working environment. But it goes back to the people again, I suppose, as well, doesn't it? It's a team effort to make the place good. But what sort of experiences have you had on trying to sort that when you were working in a pharmacy? Because I think Julian, a lot of people think that pharmacy is the way it is and it's the same everywhere, but it's not. It's different depending on how people run their shops. It's really different.
My pharmacy became, fortunately, quite busy early on. We'd be dispensing 400, 500, 600 scripts a day. I quickly learned that I had to appoint a manageress.
Okay.
And she was actually not a pharmacist, but it was her job to deal with all the ABCs, DEFs, interpersonality conflicts. Yeah. And, you know, she would only come to me if there was a serious problem.
So
and
delegation.
The rest of the staff, delegation is the word, the rest of the staff knew if they had an issue, go to Sinead.
Okay.
And if Sinead can't sort it, then go to Julian. And that, right. I mean, I was given that piece of advice.
I took it.
Yes, it was. I took it. And it freed my mind up to do with my mind as I wanted to.
The other thing, now we haven't talked about this, so sorry for springing it on you, but I'm really interested. Lots of pharmacists spend their time dispensing, at the computer dispensing. I'm getting the hunch that you didn't spend your time there necessarily. Never. Why not? And how did you manage it?
Okay, I designed my pharmacy with the word supervision in mind.
Okay.
I train my staff to be able to work the computer. I spend my time dealing with the customer. So
okay.
I am that barrier. You know, Katrina prepares the prescription.
Yeah.
I don't really care whether she's an MPSI or she's a reg or, you know, it doesn't bother me as long as Katrina can actually do it.
Okay. Now this, like, I'm sorry, Julian, we never talked about it earlier, but you have hit on an absolute bugbear of mine, which is the amount of pharmacists who think they have to be dispensing and are really afraid to delegate. And I know from research I did in Trinity, when patients go in, more often than not, they meet either a weekend girl or a transition year student, and they never see the pharmacist. And the pharmacist is in the back behind the computer. Now, that to me is crazy, but you're saying as a pharmacy owner, it's possible to not let that happen.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And what do you say to the person who says, I don't want to have... Or, well, the pharmacist who says, I'm afraid they'll make a mistake. I need to be in control.
You got to pick a pharmacist that suits your way of doing it. I hire people that get me and I get them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm right or wrong now, but...
No, you are absolutely right about having the pharmacist out talking to the patients, because that is the value add. Anybody can really work at the computer and process, but the pharmacist's need for that clinical interface and patient interface. But what I mean is, for the pharmacists who come out and are too scared to come out from behind the computer, like, how do we convince them that the value add is at the patient interface?
Okay, look, this is what was said to me from my pre-reg at James's Hospital. And again, I'm going back to my tutor, Miss Finnerty. You know, the pharmacist is the very last person in a chain of events between somebody getting sick and putting drugs in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And every gate you can be a guard over increases the ability to make that transition safe. It's a habit that was drilled into me from, you know, back in 1990, when there was really only about 200 products on the shelf.
Mm.
These days there's 500, 600, 700.
Yeah.
But I still remember, you know, the first day Miss Finnerty sent me out with the prescription to meet the customer and to go through it with them. And it was quite terrifying.
Okay.
Because I'm a young fella, behind the ears, I'm going out to meet Katrina, and, you know, the prescription is personal. Now, Miss Finnerty was, you know, useful in that she would always pick customers that she knew were user-friendly.
Okay.
So, but I get very frustrated when I go into pharmacies that that's just hand out the bag. And I don't even meet the pharmacist. And I it's so unnecessary.
Yeah. I think unfortunately we're so in public view that when you see that happening, I know there's loads of pharmacies where you speak, like my local pharmacy, I absolutely adore them. They know me, I know them, they're always out at front talking to their patients. But I know I've worked in lots of pharmacies and I've seen pharmacists where you never see them. Actually, I see pharmacies where you don't see pharmacists. And I remember, as part of a research study, talking to very, very high profile policymakers who said, I never see my pharmacist when I go into the pharmacy. So don't tell me that they give advice to patients, because I've never seen it. And I just thought, wow, how interesting. We're on public view that if we're not out there at the patient interface, people will know and notice. It's something that I just have a sense that it does deplete the resilience of pharmacists if they are constantly tying themselves to the actual operational aspect of dispensing.
So going back to your question of how do you motivate a pharmacist to actually spend some time with the patient?
Mm.
And if I go back to that, the pharmacist always thinks that they have to spend all their time doing dispensing to actually get it correct. You know, if you go out to a patient with a bag and you say to the patient, this is for a sore head, and the patient says, no, it's my foot.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of the time, that is the best bit of checking you can do.
Exactly, yeah. That,
you
know, that,
you, you
that
have
final
a prescription
check
in your left hand, you have a bag of drugs in your right, and you have a patient in front of you.
Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting way of putting it, because, yeah, you're right. It does offer a better safety mechanism than trying to control everything.
Yes, in my opinion, it does. To expect a kind of a, if I use the word a counter girl, it's very demeaning. But to expect that to be done from that aspect is just naive.
Yeah. And again, you're right. You know, I'm not in any way trying to demean people who are working in the pharmacy, but I think that expertise of a pharmacist is needed at the patient interface. And it's great to hear that that's what you were doing.
So do I. And not at the PC.
Okay.
That's in my opinion. And if you spend all your time on the PC, you're brain dead by the time you get to actually talk to the patient.
Now, go back to Miss Finnerty. What are the role of tutors here? Because you've talked about this before as well.
I have. And this goes back to, you were looking for a platform to raise awareness of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked myself the question, what platforms are there already? And mm-hmm. how do we know about them? And I went back to undergrad. And I said, okay, I had a tutor in college. The reason I knew I had a tutor in college was that it was one of my jobs in fresher week. I had to go and meet this fella. Hadn't got a clue what it was going to be about or whatever, but I met my tutor, who was to be my tutor for 4 years, and I did have to use him once. And I remember an appointment was made very quickly, within days. A follow-up was made in about 2 weeks, and that was it. Mm. But I knew that if I had a problem, this was the route to go. And that was the route that I took. And I had trust as an undergrad in that system that I could honestly tell my problem to Mr. DC, as it was, who was my...
He was my tutor too.
Really?
Yeah. Past DC. DC, Prof.
Go
DC.
Away.
Yes. Yeah.
Go away. Okay. Well, there you go. We stumbled on something. Yeah. So I had trust in Patrick DC, mm-hmm. and the system that made Patrick DC my tutor. And that was grilled into my head on week one of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I used that system once. Then if I move on to my pre-reg year, I also had a tutor.
Mm-hmm.
And that tutor would guide me in terms of, I felt I was still, what's the word, cuckolded, looked after.
Yeah.
And I knew I could speak to Miss Finnerty about my fears regarding a prescription, or, and I was not going to be judged.
I love that you still call her Miss Finnerty.
Oh yeah, Miss Finnerty was Miss Finnerty. And even today she would be Miss Finnerty. Yes, she would. Yes, she would.
But you felt safe there. You felt you had somebody who was...
Very much so, because there was somebody that... Oh my God, was going to teach me, educate me, look after me, take care mm-hmm. of me, and they take care of the process of dispensing to patients as well. As soon as that pre-reg is over, all that support is gone, overnight. And that then led me on to the CPD, that is there a possibility that this platform could be used for mental awareness?
Mm-hmm.
Just to emphasize, I am not talking about mental solutions. They're different things altogether.
Okay, tell me more about that. How do you distinguish between
look,
the two?
Look, mental solution is, you know, Julian is very stressed for whatever reason. You know, he goes and sees somebody professional. Mm-hmm. And if they're any good at their job, they will quickly decide, is CPD the route for him, as in cognitive mm-hmm. or CBT?
CBT,
or is it medication or whatever it is. But that's a solution. Mental awareness is something altogether completely different.
So explain what it means to you.
What it means to me is to be aware of the things that you find spiritually uplifting, and to equally be aware of the things you find mentally draining. I would advise avoiding the second group and try and live your life in the first.
Okay, and how do you find the first?
I find the first, you go back to that pharmacy environment, you've got to be aware of what makes you laugh. What makes you tick? You know, what just dissolves the morning's stress? Again, you know, if this module was to be done in the CPD, it doesn't have to be all the terrible things that are stressing you. It can equally be the things you find uplifting. As long as the module is focused so that you are engaging with what does mental health mean,
mm-hmm.
then that's raising mental awareness. Part of the module can equally be, I got a plant, which I did actually, into the pharmacy, and I watered the plant every day, and I looked after the plant. And the plant was green and gave me joy because it flowered once a year, or whatever. Equally, it can be the telling of an amusing anecdote. Equally, it can be what sort of customers lifted you and why.
I love that curiosity about it. So, what customers, where, you know those interactions with people
you
when
do.
You walk away yeah. and you just feel better.
You feel better.
You feel good. But actually the stopping and thinking about that is really interesting to hear you talk about it. And you keep saying we can have a module. I think you're nearly creating the module as we speak. If I can recap on what you've said, even understanding what makes you tick, understanding and reflecting on what you don't like, you know, so what's uplifting, what kills your joy, kills your spirit. If you have tough tasks, tackle them 10 minutes at a time. Find and try to get them focused on areas that you enjoy and that are meaningful to you. And have people around you that, you know, you spark off and that you enjoy being with. They're all like, the thing about the continuing professional development module in Ireland is you don't necessarily have to go and do a module. If everybody used those pointers in their next CPD cycle, and if they said, right, I'm going to observe and see what are the things that actually give me real energy, and how do I make sure that I go towards those more, and what are the things that really I find very, very tough, and what can I do to try and mitigate those. And do you know what, ironically, Julian, there's a lot of pharmacists there who say they find it really tough to be standing at the computer all day dispensing, when actually the answer would be get out and talk to patients.
And find a staff member that, you know, you can train to actually dispense or prepare prescriptions the way you want it done.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the you know, this person would know their limits. They would know when to call you.
Yes.
It's not hard because you train them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and this is not rocket science.
Yeah. And then the other thing, of course, that we you've mentioned that I didn't list there is find a tutor, find people who can help you. So can I bring you back to when you were you registered as a pharmacist, you went and you worked in pharmacies, that support that you had from Miss Finnerty was essentially gone. What did you do when you were a pharmacy owner then? Were you the Miss Finnerty to the next generation?
I very quickly identified my strengths and my needs, my weaknesses. The amount of drugs that were in the dispensary really dramatically increased around that time period, and your clinical knowledge had to advance. And I did recognize that I had a need here for clinical knowledge that I didn't have, not to the satisfaction of where I would like to have it. So I hired a pharmacist and I picked one that in my opinion, their clinical knowledge was high. So I suppose it's about identifying your weaknesses and your positives and to work on those.
And delegate where you need to. I think there's an expression that pharmacists should be operating at the peak of the scope of their practice. And that means they should be bringing into reality at that patient interface all the knowledge and expertise and experience to try and help that person take their medicines correctly and get better or maintain their health. And it's there that we need to see pharmacists and whatever the resilience they need or the development or the CPD they need, but actually bringing that benefit at a patient interface, which many, many, many of them do. But there's a some still, I think, that like the attachment to the computer. So thinking about what else you'd put in this imaginary module, say, for example, what else would you put in it if we were going to ask pharmacists to think about their mental health?
Before we go to that question, I was speaking with colleagues about this during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that came up, which I think is worth marking the card on, and how you would, you know, shape the module. Some colleagues, in fact, all of them, would be wary about putting something personal into a module. So the module would have to be designed with that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's going to write down, you know, I was an alcoholic and I had to get X, Y, and a Z done. That's just not going to happen.
Wow.
So,
that interests me, Julian, because with the way the CPD system is developed in Ireland, the whole idea is that somebody's supposed to be able to, in absolute privacy, write down whatever it is that they need to focus on.
You and I discussed this on the phone last week, and you know, I did express my misgivings about it.
Yeah.
I confirmed it with colleagues during the week.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, I think it'll take a while for it to evolve.
Okay.
That the trust is there that no matter what you write down on a piece of paper, it's going to go no further.
Mm-hmm.
That trust, with respect, in my opinion, is not there now. And it's not out of badness.
It's going back to your principle of fear. If people are afraid that is viewable, what's interesting is it's actually written in statute that it's under the absolute control of the pharmacist, and therefore anything that's in your CPD, the whole point of having the Irish Institute of Pharmacy separate and at arm's length from the PSI, the regulator, was to prevent that very issue. So it's an interesting one, and we obviously have more work to do then, because
I think especially with a module like mental awareness.
Mm.
You know, there's no point setting the bar very high at the start. Like I said, okay. Mental awareness can equally be just, you know, all right, I'm wearing a light blue shirt today.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I deliberately put this on about half an hour before the interview. You know, just to lift my spirits for this interaction, I deliberately chose to wear a favorite shirt.
Yeah.
That's got nice bright colors.
Okay.
Okay, look, that's a simple example of a coping mechanism for the particular interface that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
It's
you were saying about it's raising awareness.
Uplifting. It's mm-hmm. mentally up. It just cheers me up.
Very good. Well, it's a lovely shirt.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I have no hair to get done, you see. So.
It's a lovely shirt.
Thank you.
So again, this has come up over and over again in this podcast series, awareness, understanding what you as an individual are about, not taking the general rules and not, you know, assuming that you have to comply, but actually just noticing your reaction to things and what gives you joy and what picks away or erodes it in other circumstances. So I'm interested in this idea, and I suppose for the record, to let people know, with the Irish Institute of Pharmacy CPD ePortfolio, it is under your absolute control. You can write things, and actually it's in the very, this comes from journaling, doesn't it? It's in the very act of writing out some of the most difficult things and reflecting on them that you will be able to evolve and develop. So it'll be very difficult to do that if people have a fear that there will be some sort of consequence.
Well, that fear is there.
Okay. And then it needs to be acknowledged. Yeah, like it or not.
It needs to be acknowledged and just...
Yeah.
Like I said, I think you've achieved something within the 5 years that I did not think was achievable 5 years ago.
Really? Tell me, what's that?
Oh, I suppose it's my age group thing as well, in that I kind of looked at this 5 years and I went, oh God, here we go again.
It didn't, you know, fill you with joy then?
No, not uplift me at all.
Did it not?
No, not at all. But now I'm seeing, hang on, they have achieved something. There's a base here that you can do something with.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I've used the word evolve a few times, that in 10, 15 years' time, it could be quite different from where it is today.
Okay.
But in terms of the mental awareness module, you know, people are going to be aware of what they write down on this. So the module should be, you know, we're not looking for people's personal problems. That's not the purpose of the module.
No,
we are looking to make people aware that, you know, physical well-being and mental well-being are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often we put a lot of effort on our physical well-being. We ignore our mental well-being until we find ourselves in a hole.
Okay, yeah.
With nowhere to go. So it's to where, the way I see it, is to raise awareness of that. And maybe it should be built into some of the undergraduate modules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the younger you get them, the better. That's always the way.
Okay. Well, it's really interesting, and because I'm going to finish on one observation. You've said it a few times about it's easier for younger people. I remember one of the pharmacists completing one of the feedback forms on ePortfolio, and they said, listen, I've been through decimalization and I've been through computers being introduced and I've been through all of these innovations, and I'm grand when it comes to a new ePortfolio. It's these youngsters who've never been through anything that I worry about. And I think it's another way to put it on its head, that actually some of the most experienced people in our profession are, you know, really able to lead us on this as well. So it's just another thought, but you're right, get them young. And I think there is a lot of work going into mental fitness now being a concept for younger people. Look, we could talk all day, I think, but I'm conscious of time. If you had one parting piece of advice to give to a colleague, what would it be?
I use this mantra: be kind to yourself and don't be unkind to others. You don't have to be kind to them if you don't like them. Just don't be unkind.
So I love
be kind
it.
To yourself. Don't be unkind to others.
That's a great way for us to finish. Thank you very much, Julian. I really enjoyed that chat.
Katrina, and all the best with it.
Thank you for listening to The Resilient Pharmacist. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you listened to this episode. And for more information, you can follow us on Twitter @BrazilianFarm.